Jesus' name this evening. I, too, glad to be here this evening. I felt that God has impressed me with some truths already, that Alan took us some deep places already. So we think about God and His work in man's life. I was impressed with the thoughts on washing, the deep cleaning washing that happens continually with us being exposed to the Word of God, and how I need that, how I tend to get dirty, and I believe we all find ourselves there, and that the washing that needs to take place in our hearts and lives is very essential. For a message this evening, I'd like to look at another washing that happened, and actually in the Old Testament, that I want to consider. You probably know the connection between leprosy and sin. Leprosy being as a type of sin. I think we can understand the connection there. While leprosy was a physical disease, God used that in His teaching to especially the children of Israel, that it was that it's a type of sin. We can draw those lessons out of that. As we think of how the lepers were to go out of the camp, and they were to not mingle with the people because of the high chance of that leprosy spreading in the community that they lived in. We probably remember the story of Jesus on the road one day where He met 10 lepers, and they pled with Him to heal them. And He told them to go show yourself to the priest. He didn't perform a miraculous miracle there on the spot, but He simply told them to go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, as they were obedient, by faith were obedient to that, they ended up looking at each other and realizing that they were cleansed from their leprosy. And it was only one of those men that turned around and thank Jesus for what He did for him. There's a lot of parallels we can look at about these stories in Scripture and our own personal life as it has to do with sin. And I'd like to draw some lessons out of that this evening. I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, and look at the story of Naaman. I'm sure we know that story well, but as we look at the story of Naaman, I'd like to think of some things there that applies to us. This past week, we had parent-teacher meeting, and as I was there at parent-teacher meeting, and I was looking through a fifth grade Bible book that our fifth graders are using, a question in there stood out to me, and I wonder sometimes if it's not good if we go back and observe some fifth grade Bible sometimes. There's some simple truths that we think about. But the question, it was, you could choose true or false, and the statement was, does sin only affect the person that commits the sin? Now, maybe we think that's pretty heavy for a fifth grader to discern that, but that was the question. And would you choose true or would you choose false? That sin only affects the person that commits the sin. Well, the correct answer was circled there, and I'm glad for that. But we know, no, it does affect more people. Sin affects more than just the person that commits the sin. Anyway, as we think of this story this evening, I want us to consider us putting ourselves in the place of Naaman and the problem that he faced that day was leprosy. But the problem that we face today is our own carnal will and how we relate to the sin around us, the sin problem, the temptations that come to us. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Excuse me. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bowed down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. We'll stop reading there. We know the story went on then about Gehazi, Elisha's servant. But this story of Naaman is an example to us of our own need for healing of our leprosy. As Naaman found himself in the duties of life with an incurable disease that he was unable to alter, so we have found ourselves in life with an incurable sin problem that of ourselves we are not able to alter our destiny. Naaman was full of ambition, I'm sure. The first verse here says that he was a great man and he was honorable, and that even through him the Lord had delivered the children of Israel to the Syrians. And we could say that he was even possibly used of God. Everything seemed to be going really good for Naaman. If we would read the first verse minus the last five words of the first verse, if the story would stop there, we would have a very good impression of Naaman, and that he was honorable. He was a mighty man in valor. But the last five words identify a problem, and it says, but he was a leper. It seemed to be really good for Naaman until the last five words of the verse came along, and then there was a problem. How true of us also at times. We feel ambitious, and we feel, you know, we have accomplished things sometimes. Thank you. And we maybe have done some things for the Lord, or we have committed our life to God at one point. And maybe we have recommitted it already. Maybe we've been washed with the water of the Word. And we've been washed a couple times, many times actually. But as we go about our valor work and our mighty work in our everyday life, we come to realize that in my life, maybe there's a spot of leprosy there. And this leprosy can be in the form of many things. There are sins of the flesh that the Bible speaks very clearly about. And it lists those things. And there's also sins of the spirit that the Bible talks about that list the sins of the spirit, pride, jealousy, and anger, and so on. Those kinds of things. But leprosy can come in those various forms of attitudes or sins of the flesh. The question is for me, am I going to be like Naaman? Will I take the steps to healing as he did, or will I be too proud to refuse the help from the lowly? And those that I feel maybe don't understand as much as I do. And he turned away in a rage there that day. And he was very disappointed. He was very let down by the seeming lack of help that he was supposed to receive for his problem. I want to consider seven steps in this healing process, and I don't know if I gave the title for the message this evening, but I would simply call it Ingredients for Spiritual Healing. But I want to look at seven steps out of this story, 7 points, and I found it interesting that Naaman, when he found healing, he found cleansing, was when he completed dipping 7 times into the Jordan River. The first point I want to consider is that we need to recognize the problem. Just Thursday evening, this is Friday evening, so last evening, I found myself in the doctor's office, and you've probably been in the doctor's room there, and the nurse sits there with a clipboard and is checking things off and firing questions at you, and you know, do you use tobacco? Do you use alcohol? And then have you ever used substance abuse? And then she stops and says, I'm sorry, I have to ask these questions. And I told her, that's fine. I said, I don't mind at all you ask those questions. But for Naaman there that day, If he did not recognize he had a problem, he would not have went any farther than that. And probably if somebody would have asked him some of those questions, you know, Naaman, are you sure that, you sure you don't have leprosy? I don't know what his response would have been, but could have been, well, no, that's just a boil. It's something that's been here a while, and I don't think it's leprosy. Sometimes that happens to me. Somebody challenges me, you know, really, did you respond right in that situation? Well, if you would have been under the pressure I was, well, you maybe would understand. Or, you know, there's all kinds of excuses we make. But until Naaman was able to recognize his problem, the problem, then healing could be sought. But until we deny the problem, as long as we deny the problem, then symptoms come out, and maybe even the real thing comes out sometimes, but we just simply are not able to see it. Sometimes it's not too hard for us. Brother Allen talked about the stigma of sin. And you know, really, sometimes it is pretty hard. Because, and I believe it's right, as people of God, we hold sin as exceeding sinful. And let's please not lose that. That sin is exceeding sinful. And there is a letdown of failure when that happens. But as sinful and exceeding sinful as sin is, and as let down as people may be, if we want to use that term, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It goes up beyond what our failure has been. And thank God for that. Let's not hold back from admitting the problem, because there is abundant mercy and there is more than enough for us to get on the path of victory. Maybe at times we want to shrug off our problem, but we want the healing. We want a small confession, or we want to make a related confession. I've heard those already. Related confessions, if you know what I mean. You know, they didn't really say the true issue, but it was something kind of close. And then we expect that when we dip the seventh time, that there's cleansing, and it doesn't happen. We wonder why. But some of these things are important that we recognize the problem. I find it unique and interesting that this problem in Naaman's life, you know, I can just imagine that servant girl going about her lowly duties, maybe sweeping the floor and stopping and leaning on her broom and telling her mistress, you know, only if my master would go to Israel and get healing. You know, a small voice from the lowly servant girl. She knew what the problem was, and she had faith where it could be healed. The second point I want to consider is to seek answers for the problem. You know, sometimes we recognize and we say, yes, I know I failed. I know I do. But then we stop, and that's about as far as it goes at times. For Naaman to get healing, he couldn't just sit back and simply say, you know, I have leprosy. That's what I have. He couldn't get healing that way. But it was an important step that he did recognize the problem. But he had to move on and seek an answer for his problem. there was a letter written to the king of Israel to inquire if there was help for this leprosy. There was also a trip taken to the land of Israel to inquire and find answers for this. It didn't stop with just a letter. He went there too. Jesus said, trying to pull those words together, maybe we better turn to it. In Luke 11, verse 9, Jesus said, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." There's steps in this process that as we commit and humble ourselves before Almighty God, He will give us answers for our problems. The third step I want to consider in this healing process is that He moved into action. Naaman could have recognized his problem, and he could have maybe even sent a letter. He could have known the answers to the problem. But unless he went through it, unless he moved into action, the previous steps wouldn't have been help to him. Doing is a scriptural concept that is very important. Jesus said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." There's a certain amount of obedience that has to take place that's built upon a faith that God has the answers. Naaman had to move into action. How many times do I recognize my problem? And I seek answers for it. But maybe because I do not like the answers, it keeps me from moving into action and carrying through in those things. The fourth step I'd like for us to consider this evening is that we need to remove preconceived ideas. There was a barrier in Naaman's life that had to come down before he could get healing. And when his fancy chariot, and with all that wealth, and with all his servants, went up to the gate of the door of Elisha's house, and then just a simple lowly servant came out and just sent him a message, "Just go dip in Jordan 7 times. It made him angry. And today we'd say it ticked him off. And it didn't go down well with him. He turned away in a rage, it says. He had to remove some preconceived ideas before he was able to get healing. And he mentioned 2 rivers of Damascus that, you know, why couldn't I wash in these rivers? I can imagine they're like the rivers here in the West where you can see all the way to the bottom. And maybe Jordan River was a little bit like the one in Virginia behind our farm that was muddy and you couldn't see to the bottom. I don't know. But notice what he said. He said, I thought that he would come out and do some miraculous thing. And how many times in my spiritual life, and in our spiritual life, and maybe in church life sometimes, that help comes to me in a way that I'm least expecting it, and from a source that is hard for me to handle. And we often respond with, I thought it'd be this way. Or I thought that it'd be that way. Notice that how he thought he would be helped was not in any way the method that was used. And how many times do I go away? Maybe not in a rage, but maybe a little bit agitated, because the message from God's messenger that came to me was not what I wanted to hear. The Apostle Paul also said that he was there one day. He had thoughts, too, that took him, that he was working against God when he thought that he was working for God. When Paul gave his testimony, he said, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." If we remove the "I thought" or preconceived ideas out of ways people should help me, then we are much better equipped to be helped. Number five, another point, is that Naaman had to exercise faith. Naaman had to exercise a bit of faith in what the prophet told him to do before he turned his horse down into the river. When he left there in the rage, and then his servants came up beside him and reminded him that, you know, if the prophet would have told you to go do some great thing, you would have thought it was an honor. You could have done that. But how much easier it would be to just do this lowly task. Maybe he felt he didn't have much to lose, except possibly getting ridiculed. But I believe he did have to act on the faith that he had in the possibility this was a prophet of God. There was something in his life that made him stop and consider the admonition and the help that came to him that he was willing to stop his horse or turn his horse and go down into this river and dip himself seven times. We also have to have faith in Jesus Christ before we can be healed. We have to give up that we have life figured out and look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. As Naaman exercised his faith that day, he received healing. And we today, as we have been washed with the water of the Word, and as we will continue to be washed, we will have to have faith in the message of healing that comes to us. He had to exercise his faith. The sixth point I want to consider is that Naaman had to be obedient. Naaman could have recognized his leprosy problem. He could have sought for answers, moved into action to find those answers. He could have even removed his preconceived ideas. And he could have had faith that what the prophet told him to do would heal him. And he could have stood there on the River Jordan. Up to this point, he could have went through each of those steps up to this point, but he could have just stood there on the bank of the river. But unless he was obedient to the command, and he stepped down into the water and he dipped himself seven times, there was no healing for Naaman unless he was obedient. Obedience is a very important part of our salvation. If Naaman would not have obeyed the prophet, he would not have been healed. God would not have somehow, on his ride home from Elisha's house back to Syria, he would not have somehow just healed Naaman. The only way Naaman could have been healed was if he was went through with obedience. The Bible is clear on obedience. and we will have leprosy in our life if we neglect obedience and if we disobey. There are many Bible commands for obedience in our lives. And we can't go through life, no matter where we are, without obedience. And as we think of my standing before God, I would like for us to consider my obedience. And maybe we feel sometimes that, you know, as far as I know, I'm doing all that God commands me to do. But what about the things that others have commanded, those that are set up by God, such as our local governments, there's disobedience in those ways as well. Bible says, children, to obey your parents. We are to obey magistrates. We are to obey civil governments. Servants, to obey your masters, or we can say employee-employer relationships. And then the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. We are obeying something. If Naaman would have turned there at the river and went on his way to Syria without dipping in the Jordan River, he still would have been obeying something. Romans 6, verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The question then is for us is, whose servant are we, and who are we obeying? I'd also like to note just here what the Apostle Peter said about obedience purifying us. Even as Naaman's obedience purified him in that step, 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. There it says that seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. And when we have our hearts purified by obedience, it will bring a genuine love for the brotherhood. And we will love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, another step I'd like to consider in this healing process is thankfulness. You know, as Naaman was obedient, and he went into the river, and he dipped himself seven times, and he was cleansed. He came up out of the river, and he did not continue on his way to Syria, but rather he went back to where he came from. He went back to Elisha's house. And the reason he went back to Elisha's house is because he wanted to thank the prophet, and because he knew that now there is a God in Israel. And that's why he wanted back, is to express his thankfulness. You know, the very goods and wealth that he brought along to pay for this healing, he then used that to express his gratefulness for him being healed. And even as the Bible is clear that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, and we are saved unto good works. It's not our abilities that save us. No, it falls short of that, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. But after we are saved unto good works. And that's just like Naaman, going back with his wealth and giving that all back, wanting to give that all back because of the healing that he received. Well, the question then is, am I one of the nine that Jesus met on the road when he healed those lepers? Or am I like the one that turned back and came to Jesus and knelt at his feet and was willing to give his life back to Jesus because of his healing. The question is, what are some ways that we can express our thankfulness today? What will that produce in my life? And as we consider our heart before God this evening, has it been one that has slightly turned towards the nine rather than the one that has went back? Did we let some of the horses and some of the wealth there on the bank of the Jordan River while we went back to Elisha, to express our gratitude? Or are we taking everything with us? Isn't God looking for a life of devotion, a life that is completely sold out to following him and his word, a life that without any reserve is given to God? There's no part of my heart that I am not willing to go with my brethren or with God. Just as those questions in the doctor's office did not offend me, we need to be able to answer questions like that with each other. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How is my response to God's healing in my life? And has there been some signs of leprosy where maybe you are at any one part of these seven steps that you find yourself? May God continue to have his way in the lives of his people. Second Chronicles 7 in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I trust this evening that we have experienced the washing of the water by the word, and that we are experiencing Christian victory. And may we walk with God each day in the steps of healing that he has outlined in his scripture. Let's kneel together for prayer.